Why be satisfied when you can feel ecstatic? Hi there, it's Janet Kaleri of Sight for Sound Life Coaching. You know, when we see things as they truly are, we make sound choices in life. So how about starting now? Invest in yourself. Invest in your potential. Through my very fun 21 Days to Yes program. 21 Days to Yes, where your life is the workshop. It's only 21 days away. So call me now at 323-252-0963. 323-252-0963. It's Janet Kaleri, and I believe in your potential and that you deserve to feel ecstatic.
Hello, world. Welcome to my show, Sight for Sound Life Coaching. I am your host and life coach, Janet Kaleri, and you may find out more about me at sightforsound.com or give me a call at 323-252-0963. I'm here to ignite your potential, inspire your potential, assist you in living in your potential, enhancing the quality of your life, because I think you're great and I think you have a unique gift to offer the world. And it would be a bummer if you didn't do that. So I'm really appreciative of having the opportunity to have my own radio show every other week at 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time through BBS Radio. And extend my thanks again to Don and Seth over at BBS Radio. Yay! So Sight for Sound, life coaching, Sight for Sound to me means when I see things as they truly are, I make sound choices. And I make sound choices when I see things as they truly are because I have more information about myself. I know myself better. And there's a notion that my life works better the more I know myself. Maybe I have some information I didn't have before, although it's always within me. But now it's brought to my consciousness, to the forefront of my mind. And that information can be used to create a new habit, a new healthy habit. Maybe flipping the switch on a habit that is not so healthy. The information can be used to set goals and create results like increased productivity or more confidence, more motivation, healthier relationships, being more effective in my communication. And a good one is self-compassion. I think having compassion for oneself is very important. It's definitely a pathway to living with more peace of mind and a sense of freedom and fun, because life ought to be fun, as my guest Ellen Gileo says. I'll be introducing her in a few minutes. I am quite excited about today's show. We're going to be playing some music for you and talking about the importance of music and what's coming up in a few weeks. Wonderful music festival, Rhythm and Roots Festival. So, I am happy to introduce my dear friend and colleague, Ellen Gileo. She is the owner of Full House Promotions. She's a publicist for Rhythm and Roots Festival in Rhode Island, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. And Ellen and I met quite a few years ago, my goodness, maybe even 10 years ago, when we were both living in Boston, and I was a photographer. I had my photography business and was working primarily in the music industry, and Ellen works primarily in the music industry as a publicist, and we met at a club. We'll have to talk about that, Ellen. So we have remained dear friends since then, and she's now here in Los Angeles, so I get to see her as much as I want to. And Ellen and I are going to be talking about people connecting with music and how it speaks to them on a visceral level, on an emotional level. And while you're listening, ask yourself, how do you connect with your source through music? So when you're listening to music, and perhaps you're even dancing to the music, how do you connect with your source through that? How do you feel when you're listening to music, when you're dancing? What's so important about it to you? And again, we love callers, so call in and share your thoughts or ask us questions. The toll-free number, 877-876-5227. Toll-free number for Canada and U.S. is 888-815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. Call in, share your thoughts, ask questions. And I now introduce Miss Ellen Gerleo. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Janet.
How are you?
Thanks for having me today.
You are so welcome. Thanks for saying yes.
Sure. It's a very exciting festival, so I'm always up for talking about it.
Good, and I was just thinking that that there might be a lot of Boston accent in this this conversation, so I'm actually excited about that.
Well, it is a New England festival, so that's appropriate.
Yeah, so the Rhythm and Roots Festival is taking place in Rhode Island on Labor Day weekend. And you and I were speaking earlier about the festival and your participation in the festival in general in music. And one thing that I love about the Rhythm and Roots Festival is what I think is very noteworthy is they provide an educational opportunity for children through the Kids Cajun Academy. So there's some local musicians, specifically a Rhode Island band called Magnolia, mm-hmm. and they teach instrument instruction on the fiddle, guitar, and accordion in the Cajun styles. And then the kids get to perform a song with their teachers on the main stage. So tell me more about that. That sounds really joyful.
Yes, it is. The kids really, they learn a song through the course of the weekend. Actually, it's just even been expanded a little bit. There used to be lessons just on Saturday and Sunday, and now they actually even start them on Friday evening. The festival starts about 4:30 in the afternoon on Friday, and the kids jump right in with the lesson at 5 o'clock, and then there's one early in the day on Saturday and Sunday. And later in the day on the main stage, they perform the song that they've been learning all weekend with their teachers. And Magnolia is a great local Cajun band down in Rhode Island. They have a following, and they've been playing for many, many years. Michelle Kaminsky leads the pack there, and she's a fiddle player. And also the guitar and accordion people from the band jump in. And the kids really are very serious about the learning, and it's really about passing on this tradition to the next generation, this roots music. The kids really, they have to sign up in advance. They bring their own instruments, and the hope is, of course, that they really get piqued by this and want to continue. So it's a great education for the kids. And the whole thing about the festival is making people aware of all these various forms of roots music and the traditions that have come down through generations. I started working on it. There was a previous festival to this that I started working on in 1995 for a few years, and then this particular festival grew out of that, and I've been working on this from the beginning, and this one's in the 11th year. And I remember the first time I went, I was just blown away seeing Cajun and Zydeco bands, and they'd constructed a wooden dance floor because the dance community in these styles is very serious. about their dancing. They enjoy it. They want to make sure there's plenty of fluids available, that they're in the shade. when we changed venues, we switched from one location to another. There were all kinds of calls about those things, and because they dance all day long. And I was just blown away at the whole party atmosphere and the enjoyment and this whole new festive music that I didn't know about. And so that's kind of the intention of the festival, as well as my involvement in it, is to, when I discover something new, I think that's why I'm a publicist. When I discover something new and I'm excited about it, I want to spread the word to other people. I want to say, hey, come check this out. This is something great you should know about.
Uh-huh.
So that's the whole thing.
And when you say that that they're serious about dancing, you're really speaking to the safety of people and the comfort, because I imagine that there are people there who have no idea how to dance Zydeco, but they get on that dance floor and sort of freeform or learn as they go along, and I'm guessing that that's really accepted there.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and also, for people who are interested, every year it's a separate dance pavilion where there are live bands at night for the dances. But during the day, all day long, there are the dance instruction in Cajun and Zydeco dance styles. So there's the Cajun jitterbug, there's the two-step, the waltz is pretty simple, and then Zydeco, you know, just basic Zydeco steps. And so people can go check the lessons out and then go try it out at night with the live bands. And even if they don't, I mean, there's lots of people who just go and have a good time and dance their own thing, and they just do their own thing to the beat of the music, and they still have a great time. So.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think it's so important, music itself, not just the festival, but music in general? What does it do for you?
Well, I think there's a number of purposes to music. I think that, you know, for me personally, music is a very, and I think for a lot of people, it's a very powerful medium, and it's both a source of entertainment and inspiration. In the case of the festival, there are people who definitely have some powerful songs that move people. And then there's just some joyful, enjoy-life songs, and that, I think, brings together both the facets of music for me. It can move people, it can inspire people. On an emotional level, and it also is just meant to be enjoyed. Dancing, have a good time. There are people who don't even, actually there's two dance floors. There's one in the dance pavilion where the lessons are and the evening dances, and there's also a big dance floor constructed right near the main stage so people can enjoy dancing all day long. And there's some people that just dance right in the grass where they are, and they're, you know, jumping around to the music and having a great time. And that's what it is, you know. It's enjoy life. Hey, we're here to have fun.
Enjoy life. Have fun. Feel carefree. I like music, you know, specifically around the lyrics that I think people are very moved by music because they relate to the message, to what's being said in the song. And when it's this well-known, famous singers, I mean, there are many of them, but when someone just in society connects with this famous person who's basically speaking about them, there's a resonation there, and it's easier for me to give myself permission, like to say, you know, it's okay for me to be human and make mistakes. Do you ever feel that way about it at all? Has that ever resonated with you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what creates a bond among people. It's that, you know, you hear a song and you relate to it emotionally, and you know this person is possibly either speaking from their own experience or from someone else's experience that they've observed, and you know that, yeah, I feel that way too, and so you're not alone, and so it's a human bond kind of thing as well. Even back in 2005 that we had the festival, it was right after the Hurricane Katrina hit, and of course everybody was very much with the Louisiana people. There were a lot of Louisiana people among the bands. They were raising money, and Marsha Ball, who's originally from Louisiana, she now makes her home in Austin, Texas, and she sang this song, Louisiana, that just, I don't think there was a dry eye in the place that year, because everybody certainly was empathetic and right there for the people in Louisiana and all they had just gone through. It was just so fresh. So, you know, music can do that, and it can bring you right there, right up close.
Bring you smack in the moment.
Yes.
Ooh, I got the chills.
Yeah.
I got the, yeah. Well, maybe I think it would be great to have our listeners hear one of the songs. One of many of the songs from some of the artists that are going to be at the festival. And we have a song that we'll play for you now, which is called Beauty Within by Donna the Buffalo, which is on her on the Silver Lined CD. Do you want to say something about that now
or after
the song?
This band is... They're celebrating 20 years as a band, and this is part of the whole thing with the festival. There's still many people. I mean, they have a very hardcore following. They call themselves the Herd, and but there are many, many people who still don't even know of this band, and that's part of the festival too. Is more and more people discovering them. They're one of our more popular artists that people ask to have back. The main singer on this particular song that you're going to hear is Tara Nevins, who wrote the song, and the band is, they go from this type of song, which is more of a listening song, to some great dance music, and they have all facets of it. So, and by the way, there's no one in the band named Donna.
Oh, well, I was going to ask if you know where the name comes from.
Yes, it actually is kind of a joke. They were going over names to call the band, and somebody came up with Dawn, D-A-W-N, of the Buffalo. When they said it, someone else said, and they said, we were thinking of Dawn of the Buffalo. And someone said, what, Donna the Buffalo? And they just thought that was so hilarious that that's what they named the band, Donna the Buffalo. So there's where it comes from.
And Karen Evans has, God, her voice is just so exquisite. So... Don, why don't you play Beauty Within for us now? It's such a wonderful song, and it's definitely got a great beat to it, too.
Yes.
Okay, let's see.
Yeah.
That's such a... I feel like hopping around the room when I hear that song. She's got a beautiful voice.
Yep, that's Tara Nevins. She used to be in a band called The Heartbeats before Dawn of the Buffalo formed. And she's terrific. She's mostly on fiddle. I think she plays some accordion as well. When they do some Zydeco tunes, they definitely also dip into Zydeco. And as I said, they're one of our more popular bands. For sure.
Yeah, well, I see why. And they're from upstate New York?
Yes, they have. I'm trying to remember what the cause is, but every year they do have a their own festival, and it's a benefit. And I'm the cause is escaping me. I want to say it's a benefit for AIDS. And they've been doing it for years and years, and they're just very cause-oriented and very community-oriented. That's their focus.
And so our listeners can probably just Google Dawn of the Buffalo and find out more about that.
Yes.
That benefits. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and you want to share thoughts or ask questions, call us at 877-876-5227 or from Canada, 888-815-9756 and direct line 530-876-3222. So speaking of community and benefits, Ellen, I noticed that on the Rhythm and Roots, on their website, which is rhythmandroots.com, that there's a discussion group link. And so what goes on out there on the discussion board? I imagine that just through this festival, people are creating new communities and expanding their communities.
Yes, they absolutely do, and that's part of the discussion group. Is the community of people, they sign up. There's other bands that are related or have played at the festival that will post their local gigs during the rest of the course of the year so that if people who are interested can come, you know, see more of that kind of music. There's also, as it gets closer to the festival, people who sign up and say, I'm coming to the festival for the first time, and what should I know? What should I know about the campground? What should I do about this? What should I do about that? And then people jump in who've been coming for years and offer advice and suggestions. And it's great so that people get some advice right before they even get to the festival. And there's lots of communities that are formed with people, just like a lot of festivals where people bring their musical instruments to the campground and they jam during the night, or others that just meet and form communities that they meet up every year at the festival. So it's definitely another case of, you know, there's a music event that also spawns a community. There's definitely a Rhythm and Roots community.
Wonderful. And there's also about 350 volunteers. That's amazing.
Yes, we survive with volunteers. They're a very important part of the festival, and it's a great way for somebody who would like to come check it out. If they say, gee, you know, it's not in my budget right now, maybe I'll volunteer, and they just do one shift a day, and then they're off for the rest of the time, and they can go enjoy the festival. And it's a win-win situation because certainly the festival needs those people to, whether it's walk around the grounds and help pick up trash or to staff different. I even use an assistant in my media booth to help me just have somebody there because I'm running around the whole festival, with media and who wants to talk with some of the artists and that kind of thing as the publicist. So I need someone to stay in my booth just to, you know, have somebody there. And just all different kinds of, there's the information booth where people leave off flyers, and there's all kinds of jobs for volunteers. So that's still, if you want to volunteer, it's still open.
Ah, okay.
Go on the website, Rhythm and Roots, R-H-Y-T-H-M-A-N-D, roots.com.
And volunteers must be 18 years or older.
Yes.
If you're 17 now, but you're going to be 18 before the festival, you're still qualified.
Yes.
So do most of the volunteers, are they people who are aspiring to be a musician, or are they, you know, aspiring to be dancers or working in that industry, or are they just from all over?
There's a little of everything. There's both of those, as well as people who just want to enjoy the festival and have a good time, and so they volunteer and help out. But there's definitely some musicians in there and some just industry people who want to get into the, you know, concert industry. So, yeah, anybody and everybody.
Everybody and anybody.
And there is a great, I want to just throw in there that there is a great family component in general to the festival, which is, you know, people come with their whole family. I mean, not even just the instrument instruction. There's actually a family tent where all day long there's, you know, kids' music with sing-alongs. There's a little activity where they make Mardi Gras masks, and there's a Mardi Gras parade on Saturday and Sunday where the Hot Tamale Brass Band leads the little parade, and the kids all wear their new Mardi Gras masks that they've made with the feathers.
Aww.
And the Mardi Gras beads. And so there's, and then as it gets toward evening, there's a movie that's shown for the younger ones, and then a teen movie later on, just to keep the kids occupied while the parents maybe want to go off and dance or do whatever. And so there's definitely a whole family component to the festival. Very family friendly.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's wonderful. So if you've got kids, there's no excuse not to go.
Yes, and children under 12 are free. So.
Hey, we're talking abundance now.
Yes.
Okay. Very good, very good. I want to go back to creating awareness of the roots music and the importance of its continuation and traditions, which has been since 1981 in terms of the festival. So for people who are not that familiar with rhythm and roots music and the traditions, what information would you like to share? Like, where does it come from? So we could say it comes from Louisiana, but...
Well, a lot of it does. There's a... I mean, we have several genres of music at the festival. One is blues, and of course that's gotten handed down from the traditional southern black musicians, and there's all different styles of blues. There's Delta blues, and there's, you know... There's just, you know, like the Chicago Delta blues, and then there's all different styles of blues, which I'm not even as familiar with the intricacies of the blues genre. There's also the Cajun and Zydeco. Some people don't know the difference between those. The Cajun music is handed down from the French Acadians that migrated down from Canada, actually. A lot of them are concentrated in Louisiana and around the South, and that tends to be more acoustic. It's usually... the upbeat stuff can be a Cajun jitterbug, but there's also two steps and waltzes. Tends to be a fiddle, an accordion, an acoustic guitar, that kind of thing. Zydeco is more the black Creole music, which has a little flavor of R&B and blues. It's a little more blues-oriented and tends to have electric guitar and drums and a washboard, and an accordion, of course, is at the center. And a lot of the young up-and-coming Zydeco players are making it more contemporary even and integrating pop music and making it into a Zydeco style kind of thing. So that's always an interesting thing. And and even the dancing, they're adding sort of this traditional Zydeco dancing, and then there's people that are sort of incorporating a little bit of hip-hop moves into it, some of the younger kids. So it's it's this whole wealth of culture that, of course, gets modernized as everything does, as it.
What are your thoughts on that? Sometimes I cringe when I think about it because the whole idea is to continue the tradition and hold the authenticity of the traditions. And then when they become modernized, perhaps some of that is lost. So where do you think it's all going?
I think a little bit of it's lost, but I think that there's still the roots of it. And I think if that's what the younger kids enjoy, just like a lot of the music now, evolved from other roots, that's going to happen. And if that's what they enjoy doing, hey, great. I think anything to bring it into a more mainstream, I think there's a lot of people that would not have paid attention. There are some artists that in the Zydeco community that do traditional Zydeco, and then there's some that do more contemporary type things. And I mean, there's an artist, Buckwheat Zydeco, who probably does a more mainstream kind of Zydeco, and more people may have heard of him. As much as some of the traditional dancers might say, oh, that's kind of cheesy stuff, that's not the traditional stuff, at the same time, I feel like, well, he's bringing it to mainstream audiences that would not otherwise be exposed to it. He played in front of, with the Boston Pops at 1/4 of July in Boston.
Oh.
500,000 people. So that's, you know what? If he's the one that brings Zydeco to the masses, more power to him. So it's okay, It's not traditional, but it's Zydeco.
I remember when, back in 91, when I traveled and up with people, musical and international group, and part of our show, we had a 70s component, and then we had another component that included Zydeco, and that was my first experience of Zydeco, and we had the washboard, and I think long skirts, like the woman wore like long skirts, and trying to think of the tops, the traditional.
They're just usually loose flowing things, something that's conducive to movement. And now they wear knee length skirts, mid length skirts, cowboy boots, whatever. And at the festival, there's dancewear available. Some of the vendors sell, but whatever people are wearing is fine. There are people that just get up there in their shorts and t-shirt and they do their thing,
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're having a great time, that's the main thing. So,
but
there are people that, because they dance all day long, they make sure they have the right shoes that are, comfortable enough for long periods of dancing, and the right clothing, and that's more just for the comfort, I think.
Sure. So people are not so invested in the fashion per se. More about
although
the comfort.
There is plenty of fashion, but
yeah.
But, people just, the people that are wearing those things don't, it doesn't matter what other people are wearing, whatever works.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Fun is the main issue.
Yes. We're talking about the Rhythm and Roots Festival, which takes place in Rhode Island on Labor Day weekend. It's specifically at Ninegret Park in Charlestown, Rhode Island, August 29th through the 31st. You can find out more at rhythmandroots.com. I have Ellen Gerleo, the publicist for the Rhythm and Roots Festival, on the phone, on the show here, and we're talking about keeping traditions of roots music and Cajun and Zydeco, and we're talking about music in general and all the benefits and magic that spawn from music. If you have any thoughts to share or any questions, you may call us at 877-876-5227, and from Canada, 888-815-9756. And speaking of other countries, Ellen, people do people from all over the world come to the festival?
We have had people. I had last year a media person actually from Germany who stopped by. He was just making his way across the United States and checking out all the various music festivals. People love the music festivals in the United States, and there are some in other countries, but we have such a wealth across our country that
we do.
People just definitely come in from other countries to check it out, and some of these bands tour in other countries too. I know Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys, who are our perennial favorites. They've been the host band in past years, playing all 3 days, and they come back every year. I think the promoter gave them a break 1 year, and everybody was, "Where's Steve Riley?" So we can't leave them out ever again. But they travel all around the world, and there's a new up-and-coming artist, Curly Taylor, and his band's called Zydeco Trouble, and they've toured Holland, and these bands definitely get out there into the other parts of the world.
Oh, that's great to know. So they're spreading it all over the place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Especially in Europe. So.
Sure. Where in Europe? Is there like a specific area?
I
imagine France, maybe?
Yes. They've been in, yes, France for sure. I mean, because some of the bands do sing in French. The traditional Cajun and Zydeco both, the Creole French and the Cajun. And I know Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys predominantly sing in French. As well as there's a traditional Zydeco artist that we've had at the festival. His name's Gino Delafosse, and he's been around for a long, long time. He's one
Gino,
of the,
I've heard of Gino.
Sure, mm-hmm. And he's one of the popular artists, and he travels all over the world, and he predominantly sings in French as well. So, yes, definitely France. They get into, as I mentioned, Holland, Germany, I think even Switzerland. I know
mm-hmm.
Steve Riley's been to Switzerland.
I imagine so.
Mm-hmm.
Switzerland.
Yes.
That's good. It's good to know that that these musicians are making a living off of what they love to do, and they're spreading the magic around outside of North America.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, they get into Canada. In North America, they hit Canada quite often as well. So, but they're definitely making a living off it, the more popular ones. There's definitely ways to check out this music, too, I just want to say. There are a lot of public radio stations or community radio stations that have just maybe once-a-week shows or different types of shows that play this all over the country. They play Cajun, Zydeco, and all forms of roots music. Americana, which is sort of an alternative country kind of a format. And there's labels that specialize in roots music as well, like Sugar Hill Records and Rounder Records and Alligator Records and Arhuli Records. Those are a few of them. Alligator Records has Marsha Ball and a lot of the, and she does sort of a piano blues kind of a sound, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's terrific, and that's a lot of Alligator has a lot of bluesy oriented stuff, and Arhuli has a lot of traditional recordings, as does Rounder, both in Cajun and Zydeco and other traditions, and Sugar Hill as well. So
do you know when the tradition came to the United States? I'm guessing. It came straight from Canada to here, but do you know when or how long it's been around?
I don't. That's something I probably should know more in terms of the history, but I do know in terms of the Cajuns that certainly, yes, the Acadians did migrate down from Canada. I don't know when exactly that was.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as much as I know on that.
So when you're at the festival and when you are working very, very hard
yeah.
at publicizing the festival and being the publicist for it, do you get an overall idea of what the sense of pride is of Cajun and Zydeco? is there a certain sense of pride in that music or what it really stands for?
I would say so. I mean, just the way, the joy that these people do it with and the traditions that they acknowledge. I mean, there are definitely their elders that they always acknowledge. Dewey Balfa is a big one, and his daughter Christine Balfa formed a band called Balfa Toujours, and they do his music as well as other traditional music. There is absolutely, and Gino Delafos is another one whose dad, he started at 8 years old in his father's band, and then his father passed away years ago, and he just continued the tradition, and he's had his own band now for many years. So they definitely acknowledge that, the roots, and their own elders. I mean, a lot of these are kids of, there's Amadei Ardoin, and there's Chris Ardoin, who's young, in his 20s, who has a Zydeco band, and various cousins. Gino's cousins all have bands. His brother was, you know what I mean? So it's just something that they spread, and you can see that festivals like the Rhythm and Roots, and the Rhythm and Roots Festival in Rhode Island is not the only one. There are other festivals that definitely feature this kind of music, and they're helping get that music outside of the Louisiana borders, because certainly they all play in Louisiana quite often. But it's the festival promoters that expand. Also, the promoter that does the Rhythm and Roots Festival does have a Mardi Gras ball every February, and it's a one-night event, and it's in a ballroom.
Oh, yes.
It's in a ballroom that holds a few thousand people, and people come in costume, and they have a costume contest, and throw out Mardi Gras beads, and there's usually three or four bands, and he does a mix of Cajun and Zydeco bands. And it's usually around Fat Tuesday, which is around when Mardi Gras is.
Right. That sounds fun.
Yeah. And
that
there actually are people that come sometimes in costume to the festival, too. It's not a prerequisite by any means, but there are people that walk around in costume and have different colorful flags flying where they're sitting in the audience, and so it's, yeah. They bring the Mardi Gras atmosphere with them, for
That's
sure.
That's wonderful. Well, why don't we listen to another tune? You mentioned a few minutes earlier Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys, who are returnees every year and pretty popular at this festival, and I'm sure around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a song for our listeners to hear. It's called Maylene. And I don't know what the song is about. I'm not sure if you do, or maybe we just leave it open for interpretation.
Yeah, I think potentially that's a person's name, is my guess. And it's just titled that. And it is all in French. It's very upbeat. But you can get the sense when you're listening to it of, if you imagine being at an open field with colorful flags flying and people dancing and food vendors and merchants. And when you listen to this song, you really can get what a party-like atmosphere it is. People just having a great time. And Steve Riley is definitely one of those bands that does, they came from traditional Cajun roots, and they do Cajun, they mix in a little Zydeco, and they mix in a little of what they call swamp pop. So
Swamp pop.
Which is what I used to call, that's what I used to call Creedence Clearwater Revival. So, you can get a sense of that. The party atmosphere when you hear this tune. This is Steve Riley.
Steve Riley and Maylene.
Yes.
Makes me want to dance.
Yes, party.
That's the whole idea. The whole idea of dancing. I'm curious about these musicians' thoughts on dancing and what they think the importance of dancing is, especially from the tradition, you know, way back from the Black Creole and the Canadian French. And it's good to have this in these festivals, at least in America. I grew up where I thought America was or might still be a little uptight on expression. And so I think it's really important to have these festivals and have this tradition of music, especially the Zydeco and the Cajun, which is mostly a lot, you know, about dancing.
It absolutely is. Actually, the tradition, and it's what we call the last evening dance, is called a fait dodo, which is spelled F-A-I-S, and then D-O and D-O, which very loosely translated means put the kids to sleep. It is what they used to do, because in the very early days when they didn't have dance halls, or put the kids to bed or something, I think it was more put the kids to bed, and they didn't have dance halls, and they used to just clear the furniture in the room, push all the furniture to the sides of the room, up against the walls, and clear the middle of the room so they could dance. And this is what they would do, and it would be very crowded and sweaty and that kind of thing. And so that tradition, those dances are called fait dodos. And so the evening dances we call a fait dodo, and definitely they get packed. There's a covering tent over the top, and it can get very hot and sweaty in there, just like the old days, but we do have some fans going and try to at least make it a little bit more comfortable. But definitely the dance tradition has always been very important in the culture, most definitely.
That sounds like a blast.
Yes.
That sounds, and for people, and, oh, hi, do we have a caller?
Yes, we do. Is this Janet?
Yes.
Hi, Janet. It's Mark Skelton from Peace Pilgrim.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Awesome to hear your voice.
Oh, same here. Well, I've been listening to the radio show. It's been very informative. In fact, I'm listening to it now. What's the deal here? Should I have the radio down, or does it not matter when you're on the internet?
I don't think it's interrupting, so.
Okay, cool. All right. So what I wanted to say was, with your I was listening to your guest, and she's very connected to something we're working on, and I wondered if she'd heard about it. It's the One Love for Music.
Oh right, the One World.
Yes, the One World. I did send you an instant chat. But
okay.
I'm actually online, aren't I? I just realized. So basically, what we're doing is we want every radio station on the planet to unite, and we want everyone at festivals, in private, in their homes, for gigs and everything, to play Bob Marley's One Love, and we want to do it an intention, like the power of intention, and get the whole world thinking about peace, one love, and unity through song. You know, to transcend all the music, and it's been phenomenal. Just wanted to let your listeners know about it, and obviously your guest today to talk about it at the festival on Labor Day weekend, because I think the more people we get involved, you know, the faster this thing is going to grow, and it doesn't cost anything. It's easy. It's just really speaking to newspapers and radio stations and getting them to play Bob Marley at 9:21 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, on at 9:21, i.e. the 21st of September.
Oh, wonderful.
Great.
Oh, thanks for sharing that, Mark. Yes, I got your message there, and it's good to know. I'm glad you called in so our listeners know, and Ellen has
so
a lot of connections, so
yes,
I'll
absolutely
forward her the information, too.
That's great. Thank
yes,
you so much, Jenna. I know you're busy. I know you've probably got other callers coming in, but I just wanted to share that. I thought it was perfect with you having your guest today talking about music and festivals, and you know that's exactly what we're doing with the One Love for Music campaign.
Yay!
That's great.
Okay, so spread the word. Like I say, it's just talking to your DJs, talking to your local newspapers. It's that simple. It really is a 2-minute job, and if everyone does a little bit, we can do this. You know, many, many hands make light of work, so they say.
Wonderful. Absolutely.
Okay, well,
I agree with that.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, Janet.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to hear your voice.
Oh, it's great. And if people want to find out more, they can go to oneloveformusic.com, and all the information's on there on how to spread the word, okay, around the world.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye,
Mark. That's great. Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice surprise.
I deal with, of course, in doing publicity, a huge amount of media on the East Coast for this festival. So both radio and print and internet, all of those, and certainly the radio people. I have quite a number of radio contacts, and I'll pass that along. That sounds like a great idea.
Wonderful, and I'll send out the information to you, too. So we have about 1 minute left, Miss Ellen Gerlayo of Full House Promotions.
It goes fast, doesn't it?
Time flies when you're having fun. I have a question for you in the audience and myself is, what would the world be like without music?
Wow.
And if no one has an answer right now, email me at coachcaliri@gmail.com, coachcaliri, C-A-L-I-R-I, my last name, @gmail.com. I would love to find out people's thoughts on what would the world be like without music. And we're going to close up here, and I have Ellen Gerlayo from Full House Promotions here talking about the Rhythm and Roots Festival in Rhode Island on Labor Day weekend. It's a place to let yourself be carefree, enjoy music, dance, celebrate life, have fun. And I think music is very important, an important part of people living in their potential. It's a source of inspiration for people to ignite their own potential, and that's my mission in life. And my name is Janet Kaliri, and you can reach me at sightsforsound.com or 323-252-0963. And thank you so much, Ellen.
Thank you very much for having me, and I've really enjoyed it. And you know, as the Cajuns say, you know, les bon temps roulent, which is let the good times roll. I think that's sort of loosely what the actual French is, but I know the translation is let the good times roll, and that's the name of the game at the festival, so I've really enjoyed it. And I just hope people, whether they're in traveling distance or not of the festival, go check out this music, because there's a lot of great roots music out there.
Check it out at rhythmandroots.com. All right, well, ciao for now, and we'll see you. We'll be here again on August 26th. I'll be having a show with former and current clients, and we'll be talking about the benefits of coaching. Ciao. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.